Okay, we're back up and running.
Okay, great.
So I wanted to also speak to posture as the mother of mood. As a body worker and somebody who changes other people's postures around, sometimes radically, sometimes in short periods, sometimes over a period of time, I have a lot of experience with this. And also, if we put ourselves in a certain position intentionally, the position can alter our mood very directly. For instance, if you hunch your, if you can try this now, all now if you want, hunch your shoulders forward quite a lot and pull your chin forward, and you can feel how the lungs begin to flatten out and feel how the rib cage pushes into the lower lungs and the shoulders restrict the upper lungs. And that posture, if maintained for a while, because you get a lot less vitality with your breath, then it very easily begins to lead into depression and grief, which is associated with the lung in Chinese medicine. And the posture can very much impact mood. Even if you were to stand up and face your feet out to the side, turn them out, and walk with your feet out, then if you pay close attention, you'll feel a little bit spaced out or a little bit out in the size of your head. And if you turn your feet in and you walk pigeon-toed, you're going to feel a little bit introverted and gimpy and sort of inside yourself and shut down and pulled inside. So we all have a habitual posture, and the habitual posture has been both created by mood, and it also creates mood. And as such, posture can be a form of addiction or a form of mechanicality, where the personality is very tied up with the posture.
So, you know, as it says at the end, this is something in a certain way. What are your common physical habits when you're speaking to somebody? How do you stand? They are particular to you. Now, at the advent of a particular emotion, a particular physical posture may come about. The idea is also to get a sensing of that moment just before it occurs, just before you start to adopt that posture, because you can sense it's about to go into effect, then change it. Then do something slightly different and see what happens. Don't allow those common postures that you take. They could be how you hold your face, how you stand, how you greet somebody. I guarantee you, others could tell you your common postures in a second. Does this make sense to everybody? In other words, do you acknowledge, do you see that you might have common postures? Let's just say common physical postures as you go through the day.
Definitely.
I may say something. I have a classic, I mean, for me it's repetitive, but one thing that I do all the time is when I arrive home and I am sitting, which is many times I'm sitting, I like to put my feet on a chair. So whenever chance I have, there goes my feet, and I relax sitting there or reading or eating or something. My feet go on the chair, or I keep them in high. And that is so repetitive every
day. So just the next time it occurs, don't stop it, but observe it and try to capture it the moment as it's starting to manifest. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a sense of it, you'll have a sense of how, what is your inner story at that moment? And as that inner story starts to unfold, change it. So,
posture.
And, change the posture and see what happens. Once you find yourself in the posture, don't say, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the exercise.
Good.
Does anybody else have a vibrant example like that, or an example like that?
Some have said yes, and I've seen them change too over time from life events. Very interesting.
Yeah, good, good.
We're not getting a lot of examples. If nobody has any more examples, I'd like to talk about tempo of work is mother to organic and psychic tempo.
I have an example.
Good.
That was very curious. I found it the other day. I was doing, for lack of a better word, meditation. And the way I did it was I would sit in a certain posture. Let's just say I'm sitting in a chair, and my back was somewhat was straight, not strained, and I kind of had my hands on my lap or on my thighs or something like that. And I would notice the meditation was good. It was quite clear. I had a strong bit of attention going. It was very good. I felt the energy working in a certain way. A few moments later, from mark point, I noticed, and the people on the phone won't see this, but I noticed I bent forward, and I kind of, my elbows were on my knees, and my hands were kind of supporting my forehead. So I suddenly bent forward and was in that posture. And it surprised, and then I noticed a whole bunch of thoughts started coming. Thoughts of, which I call yama yama, or the monkey mind. Just jabbering on. I thought, I didn't even notice that I had gone into that posture. But I went back into the original posture. I was working again. And lo and behold, with great consistency, I found myself again in that posture. My elbows on the knees, my hands supporting my head, and there I was. I was there again. How did it possibly happen?
And was the yama yama starting up again?
And I could see the yama yama was starting up again. So I was so perplexed by this that I was in a state of wonder. So I'm sitting there again, back into my meditative posture, and then lo and behold, I noticed it started to come up that my body wanted to move in that direction. It wanted to move there, and as it wanted to lean forward, I noticed, because my mind was clear in this state of meditation, right? It was almost, let's just say, it was blank. I was just in a certain way in pure presence. And I could see, like, almost as if it was a small stream of thought starting to form. At that point, I realized that physical posture gave vent to those thought patterns.
That's the thinker posture in that famous statue of the thinking man.
Yeah, his was more noble than mine, but yes. Rodin. But so I was able to capture it like that, Guillermo, and I could see it actually. I could see the desire to move there, like the pressure to start moving the body in that way. Now, when I was in that form, I was clearly in the mechanicality of that thought pattern. I was just in it. And that's what was going on. So the machine wanted to get me there for a particular reason, its reason.
So the muscles actually carry a lot of information in them, and when you lean forward, then you're using all the muscles to hold up your whole torso and organs, and when you're sitting straight and the spine is straight, not only are the energy channels move through better, but you're using the spine to hold you up, and you're not activating the muscles with all of their thinking and feeling load of information in them.
That too. Absolutely.
Sama
yeah.
said, my posture tends to shrink, become invisible. I tend to curl up protectively, arms crossed over solar plexus. Then she said,
yeah.
we had an excellent example of posture at the museum, saw the statue of Xochipilli, I can't say it, in a sitting posture with knees pulled up to breasts, shins crossed and hand held up in mudras, and face tilted toward the sun, and the mood of remorse was so powerful. It filled the heart, and my face felt sunburned. We tried to create and sit in that posture later to hold that mood.
Good. That's very good. There's certain moods that you can access by adopting certain postures.
So then when we're talking about the tempo of work being the mother to organic and psychic tempo, I'm thinking about when I start to do something really quickly, like I just what if you're packing and you're just trying to get out the door really fast, and it changes the way the work that you're doing and the speed that you're doing the work changes the way that your body and the way that you feel about yourself psychically are. Or if you move really, really slowly, for instance, maybe you're really being quiet because you don't want to disturb somebody who's sleeping and you're in the same room, and you're moving, your work is very, very slow, then it sets a particular mood that can be felt through the body and also through your psychic self. Any other comments? Anybody out there?
Yeah, I'm out here. I'm out here. I'm listening. Actually, there's so many things that come with every time somebody speaks. Every time one of you speaks, there seems to be ideas and thoughts that just kind of come, and they're hard to. I find it difficult to speak to assimilate them. They just kind of wash through somehow, and then I think about what goes on in my postures, and I'm being totally mindful of what happens just before a posture. And being like having that such mindfulness that it almost moves you into another space, a total other space.
It does.
So, Townsy Girl said, so how you move can invoke thoughts, emotions, and thoughts. And this can
yep.
be both part of being aware and being drowned out by the emotions. Yes. How you move can be part of your awareness, and it can also be part of the way that you get overwhelmed by the sensations and the feelings so that it's hard to stay present with it. Or it can make it easy to be more present with it too if you use the sensations to awaken yourself instead of checking out.
Can anybody else give an example of a posture that they tend to fall into?
I could try. I have found for some time that I will often be in a situation where I'll cross my hands over my chest. And I also have gotten to the point where often I can catch myself right before I do it. And sometimes it'll be just like walking in a store and not knowing quite what I'm doing there or what I'm looking at. Or sometimes it can be a defensive maneuver. But I have often asked myself or looked at it, then just tried to observe it and go, well, what am I feeling here, and why do I have this urge to do it? And there's never been a real open, easy to state answer. Is it something that I should keep looking for?
I'd like to suggest that instead of looking at why you do it, look for what is going on in you when you do it. Why makes you check out and go in your head, and what is an exploration. So as soon as you go into the why and you try to analyze it, it's like you want to know before you experience it. It's very important to go back into the experience and to ask what, and then to explore, and then you begin to have something to work with.
There is such a fine line between doing that and then being able to be in that part of your body where you are simply observing.
Yes. That is correct. Well put. And who is that again?
This is Jenny.
Jenny, that's well put.
Any tips?
Any tips?
Yeah. On being able to find that space?
Yeah, it's vigilance. You'll be able to find it, and as you do it more, you'll find when you're off of it. Once you see, and it becomes a natural thing for you to see, oh my gosh, I'm off of it at this moment. That's like a different inner habit that begins to form, and that's not a habit that comes from the machine. And then you'll search back for that kind of inner attention, and you'll get back to that point.
And that might be a kind of self-initiated voluntary manifestation, or at least the doorway that helps lead you there.
When this is moderately embarrassing, but when we did my mother's mass, the service for her, I was asked to come up in front of, during the mass, I was asked to come up and give a talk. Did I already talk about this?
You mentioned it, but go on.
Yeah. So anyway, I was raised Catholic, but I haven't been actively back for a few years. And so I'm sitting in the pew, and the priest sits down up on the altar area, and he says, and now David has something to say. And I thought, well, what am I going to do when I get up? And because then I go toward the front, because most people would kneel and they would cross themselves. And so
Keep going.
Yeah, you know what that means.
Yeah.
And so I got up, I knelt down, and I had this tremendous urge to cross myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I looked up at that moment, and then the crucifix had Christ on it with his arms spread out. And so as I stood up from my kneeling posture, I spread my arms out and walked up and gave my little talk.
Uh-oh.
No one said anything, but I certainly wondered at that moment.
What did you wonder, and what were you feeling when you did that?
Well, I felt that was a moment of freedom to do that. I wondered in this environment where people are, you know, very much, they're very Catholic and they're very into that, whether they would be offended by what I did. So, but nevertheless, I did it. No one said anything to me. I'm not, truth
and no
be
one
told,
will say anything to you ever again.
And no one... Then they probably won't.
Which is fine.
That's a very good example of the red-faced donkey. Not necessarily doing it intentionally, but doing it without manifesting, without considering, without fear for self.
Well, the machine was trying to find a way of being comfortable in this environment that I hadn't been in for decades. And so I was rushing to try to find, I mean, I knew how to cross myself, but I was, well, gosh, I guess I should do that. And then I saw a way out of it, in a sense.
Or
so,
maybe, David, your machine was suggestible to the image of the crucified Christ, and you were just trying to imitate something.
Sure. Yeah.
I was thinking that he wanted to be equal to that at some level.
Or felt equal to that.
Right.
Well, I figured if it was good enough for him, I figured that's maybe what he wanted. I said, hello.
Or maybe you feel like you're crucified on the cross of creation.
Time to time I so feel.
Sinhog said to get in resonance with it, and Sama
yeah.
said, yeah, that too. Yeah, that's good comment.
Yeah, and I felt, in a certain way, I felt more in harmony with myself and the moment of devotion that was offered, and I took it.
Any other questions or comments about the chapter?
I have a question.
Yes?
Does anybody want to try to explain what Sama meant when she said she felt like she was getting a sunburn? Did I quote it right?
Yes.
What was the question?
Earlier, Sama was talking about that she had gone to a particular museum and she had seen a statue in very particular, and she said, among other things, she says, and I felt like I was getting a sunburn on my face. My question is, what do you think she meant by that?
Sinhog said she was in resonance with the statue whose name I can't pronounce.
Okay.
Silverdale agrees. Townsea girl, maybe the emotions are rising to the surface.
Okay.
I'd say she had a physical experience of a total connection.
Yeah.
I think it was similar as what happened with you, David. It was a matter of resonance.
Mm-hmm. Hers was a bit more profound. I actually call that, and no puns intended, was a cleansing radiation. That was a higher vibratory radiation that she was able to pick up and get in resonance with, and it feels like it's like a white hot sunburn. It does feel hot like that. And she was able to access that from a mere statue, piece of rock. Keep your eyes peeled for such possibilities and opportunities. They happen at the oddest times.
Oh, hey, David.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched the fireworks the other night, and thought the show was just pretty good, but by the end, I was so moved that I was smiling, laughing, and crying all at one point.
Yeah.
So is that the same sort of thing where you've resonated so much with something?
Probably. I mean, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. You allowed yourself to be lifted by that celebratory event, and it just lifted you, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, okay. It was cool.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that if there's nothing more, we're ready to wrap things up. Are we ready to wrap things up, David?
We're ready to wrap things up, David.
We'll wrap you up like a mummy. A couple of housekeeping details, and that is, I believe, David, are you not available on the 21st, the week after next, or will you be available?
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be available that particular Wednesday.
Okay, and I will keep everybody posted through the autoresponder email. If you're not already signed up, please get your name on the list by going to positiveenergyguide.com/PWOS. Also, when this class on practical work on self is finished, David and I are considering having a follow-up class on the human biological machine. We'll keep you posted about that possibility or probability, and also we will probably do several Wednesday night question and answer classes after the course Practical Work on Self ends, in order to give you an opportunity to have some questions answered about working with the material instead of just completely turning you loose on your own. So we'll keep you posted about those potentialities as we get closer to our end date.
Good. I have tons of questions.
What a great idea to do that, the human biological machine. I hope you guys can go through, because it will be really awesome. Besides, the work that you guys have put together is beyond value. So I'm.
Did you get a copy of that book, Guillermo?
I do have The Human Biological Machine.
Yeah, that's also by E.J. Gold, and you can get it at Gateways Books and Tapes, .com. So it's certainly something worthy to add to your library.
Yeah, no, I do. I do have the book. I do.
Oh, good. And others should consider it as well.
But I wasn't ready. I have these two books, this one and The Human Biological Machine, for 10 years easily, but I wasn't ready for this view, for this approach. I wasn't ready for that. When I read them, it didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
But so it does today. I mean, I'm totally in the same page.
So they're making sense now a little bit?
Oh, huge.
Good.
Huge. It's very incredibly valuable.
I knew someone who had purchased the American Book of the Dead roughly 10 years before she was able to come in and actually meet EJ. And she found it quite valuable.
Just a couple last-minute comments. Townsy Girl, wow, cool. I was worried about kind of floating out there. And Sama, Kay said you can get some of the effects from a good photo of the statue, too. Not as much, but some. And so, yeah.
Do you have a copy of that? Do you have a copy of that image, Sama? If you do, if you want to email it to me, I can then pass it on to Teresa and see if she wants to post it on the Practical Work on Self.
I could sure do that. Sama said it was amazing, and I can't even imagine what the clear light radiation would be like. Holy shamali. Yes, I do. It still burns. So we'll look forward to getting that, and I'd be happy to post it on the site. So let's wrap up for the evening. Thank you for joining us, and we will look forward to seeing you next week, and we will continue with our work then. Good night.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Conference recording has stopped.